Good morning. It's already blinking yellow, so I'll keep an eye on that. It's good to be with loved ones and family here. I was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania last weekend, and there was an incident that happened there on the East Coast some time ago. They have a professional band of bugle band and bagpipes. So they are called to go do different services across the country, play different songs for funerals, for different interesting events. So a man received a call, and he was to go down to West Virginia, and he'd never been there before, so we got the call to come and play for a funeral. So as it happened on the way, he got lost. The funeral was supposed to be at 2, and he got there by 3. So as he's driving up, he finally sees a cemetery, and then there's a mound over on the side there. And some workers are over there, so he thought, well, I'm being paid. I had better go and fulfill my duty. So he goes over there and gets out his bagpipes, gets ready, and he goes to where the mound is and starts slowly playing Amazing Grace with the bagpipes. And after a while, the workers come in, and they stand beside him, and he notices as he's playing that they start having tears in their eyes. And he thought, well, if this is touching them, what a great experience this is. So he gets done playing the bagpipes, and he goes and he's putting his bagpipes away in his car, and an old gentleman who was working with him, he came over and he said, I've been digging septic tanks for 30 years and I never saw that before. So, Thursday night we had the message on Joseph going from prison to the palace. Last night we looked at Joseph's brothers and the struggle that they had because of their sin against their father. And how we need to learn that forgiveness is important for us. Peace with God and a peace that lasts. And this morning, by God's grace, I wanted to look at Jacob for a little while this morning. And titled my message is The Reunion, A Foretaste of What Is to Come. So if you'll turn with me to Genesis, the 37th chapter first, I'd like to look at Jacob and the struggles he went through. So Genesis 37, verse 31. We're not in Psalms. I made a mistake on Thursday night, so I'm trying to make up for it now here. Genesis 37, verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and they said, sent it to their father and said, this have we found, know now whether it be your son's coat or no. And he knew it. And he said, it's my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. That gives you the idea he was mourning for a long time. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Whether it was right or not, Joseph was his favorite. And all of a sudden he finds out that his favorite is gone. Let's go to the 42nd chapter. Verses 29 to 38. Genesis 42, 29 to 38. Here the sons are coming back from Egypt, They've got a problem now because Simeon's locked up. And they got to come to their father and say, Benjamin needs to come with us. He needs to come down to Egypt. And his father, of course, is not going to have a good opinion of this. And they came, verse 29, unto Jacob their father into the land of Canaan and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are not spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father, one is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that you are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, so that's being Simeon, and take food for the famine of your households and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then I shall know that you are no spies, but that you are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and you shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said unto me, Have you bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take away Benjamin away? All these things are against me. I looked it up in the commentary, and I was trying to figure out if Jacob was actually saying, You took Joseph from me. But it doesn't have that thought behind it. But I was looking at that and I thought, Jacob is still in mourning. He's still a hurting man. And why not? When you lose a son that's very dear to you, and now you've got Simeon, and now you've got Benjamin, and the possibility of losing them too, very distressed. And I look at this and I think, how many years did his sons watch him go through this sorrow? Did Joseph see good days? You know, he probably saw good days, but always behind him was the loss. And I'm not able to empathize with other people who've lost children, how that feels even for years. But when you do lose parents, you have an idea, the understanding of how that goes. Reunions. They happen all the time. Family reunions, high school reunions, sport team reunions. For the most part, these are all happy occasions. Reunions like Harvest of Thanks. We rejoice, we have great times during these occasions. But then there are times that can happen during a reunion where you think about the lost years. If you're not living with your family anymore, you're far away, you come back, and the thought can cross your mind, what if I would have stayed home? How would things have been different? Or being away from a mom or dad. And I think that Jacob thought in his heart about all the times of missing his son. If I'd had one more occasion to give him a hug, to say I love him, or something along that line. When we, and I thought about that being away from our home in Canada. We go back every few years, and it's funny all the things that you seem to miss, that they go through your fingers. You look at these children that were nephews and nieces, now they're grown up, and you think, look at all the time I missed with them. And we can go and start with the questions, what if I would have stayed home? I wonder how things would have been different. And maybe Jacob went through that too. What if Joseph would have been here? What kind of a man would he have been now? So he has sorrow. Let's go to Genesis 45. I want to take that and say he's full of sorrow with the what if questions. And here, God is going to give Jacob a great joy. Let me just make sure where I am. Verse 25. And they went out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. That's Joseph's brothers, after they found out that Joseph was the ruler and he was alive. And here they're coming to tell their father. Verse 26, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told them of all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when they saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, and the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, It is enough. Joseph my son is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And I'm thinking about the sorrow of this man, and in one moment they come and say, Listen, he's alive. In fact, he's the ruler under Pharaoh, the governor of Egypt. And here is Jacob saying, Wait a minute. I've been in mourning all these years, and now he's alive. That's why I believe, am I going to believe this? Is this really true? Because all he remembers is this coat of many colors with blood all over it. He had dismissed that as a part of life of sorrow, and now happiness. And I'm thinking, no one had to tell Jacob, let's pack up and get going. He was on his way. He wanted to see his son. And brethren, when I think about this in regards to reunions, there are people, loving people in this church, in our families who have died, some too young, some very old, that we wish we had one more day, 1 hour with them. Because sometimes we need to talk to a mom or dad. We need to talk to someone. And they're gone. And there's sadness. And we feel that sense of loss. But brethren, I'm thinking of Jacob coming back to see Joseph. And I'm thinking in our hearts, one day soon, we're going to have a great reunion. And I look for that. And I think of Jacob, that joy. Even though he was an old man, what is it, about 130 about that time? But I'll tell you what, I think he was kicking. Let's go. I want to see my son. I want to talk to him. I'm going to give him a great big hug. And you know, I get this sense of spiritual types happening here. God is waiting for that day when he is with his children again. You know, he's God, but I still think he's looking with great anticipation when he can hug us. And of course, before he comes, according to the end of millennial reign, Jesus comes. I'm looking for that reunion. I'm looking for graves to be opened and seeing people that are gone that I can hug again in great joy. I want that. I'm looking for it. And brethren, as we walk this road that is so hard sometimes, you go 99 steps, you have one step more to go, and you don't think you can make it. When we look at that glory land, God will give us the strength to take those steps we need to. I want to see Jesus. I'm excited about that. And when times get tough, we focus on Him, we forget about ourselves. And that's what I want. I want to be with all of you there. To rejoice, to be able to run like a deer. And no one hunting me either while I'm doing that. You know, sometimes we forget. We do. We forget about the goal. And we think only about, well, how hard these times are. And then I think of the Apostle Paul. And he says in Philippians 3:8, if you'll allow me to paraphrase, I've gone through all these troubles of being stoned, of being locked up, of being hurt. But you know what? I'm still looking at Jesus Christ because that's where I'm headed. He says, I count all these things that I've gone through as dung. They don't matter to me. Because when I see Jesus, what does that song say? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. When that day comes and God will wipe away all our tears from our eyes, it's worth it all. And I know, well, you don't suffer like I do. I've got health issues, or I just lost this, or I just lost... You know what? We have to see the big picture with God in it. Because if I look at myself, I make a small package. But if I look and say, okay, God, I don't understand why I went through that, why I'm going through these trials, or this hurt, or these health issues, why I can't be healed, this body is going to die. People are going to disappoint me. I'm going to disappoint people. But you know what? When Jesus comes, that's gone. When we rise up out of those graves, I'm only going to have one desire. And those things we went through aren't going to mean a thing to me. And I think we need to have that focus like Paul did. You know what? You can do whatever you want to me, but I'm still looking for that kingdom to come. And when we have that focused, brethren. We're not going to get sidetracked. And Jacob wasn't. Do you think Jacob went to his sons and said, "All right, someone give me the stick. Who's going to be the first one who's going to get it?" His focus was not on what his kids did. His focus on Joseph was alive. And I want to see Joseph. I want to be with him. And it's interesting. Let's go to Genesis, the 46th chapter. The first four verses. He's going, he's on his way, and God comforts and confirms all the hopes that Jacob has. Genesis 46, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac." I wonder, do you think that Jacob, for that time, for the first time in years, came with joy to God instead of sorrow and a brokenness? "God, you've given me the desire of my heart." I believe we have desires in our hearts, brethren, and sometimes they get broken or they're even gone. But I believe that God has greater gifts for us. Verse 2. "And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night," and God had done that with Jacob before, "and said, Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt. I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes," which we understand when he was going to pass away, Joseph was going to be there. What a gift God is giving to Jacob. He had all these hard years. Don't you think some of those years, Joseph, "I quit"? And Jacob, "I quit. This is too much, this is too hard for me. I lost Joseph. Now I'm going to lose Simeon. We got a big drought in the land. Everything's against me." And yet Jacob was able to walk and keep going to that home. And brethren, no matter what troubles we go through, Jesus is going to call one day out of the grave our hearts. Come. And if there's one thing we need to focus on in this life, is His call. Amen. I want to hear that call. And brethren, reunion, harvest of thanks, thanksgiving, these all associated time of thankfulness, of a moving and praising of God for what He has done and what He is going to do, which is the future that I'm looking forward to. I want to go in the sky. I want to see my master, and that's my hope. We have to revive that. Remember, Peter says in his epistles, he needed to remind himself, and we need to be reminded that it's all going to be worth it. We have to get away from the idea, especially if you think of the Colosseum, all these Christians, they were going to be fed to the lions, or they were going to be put up on a cross, or they were going to be hung up for Nero, for his delight. They're all going to slowly burn to death. What do you think was their hope? It wasn't, "God, look at me." I mean, their hope, and you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, these guys were singing praise to God while they were dying. Why? Because their hope far outweighed any of their circumstances that they saw. Times may get tough for us, brethren, but we've got a sure hope. And that reunion that I'm looking for, with all of you to be there, and it's sometimes it's tough. It's tough that we go through life wondering why we go through the things we do. But let's look at Isaiah 35 for a moment. And I want you to focus. This is a time to rejoice. That's what we're here for. And if you want to jump up and say, "Praise the Lord," you're not going to scare me here. Because why? We got a hope that the world can't take away from us. You know, you can have hope for your football team. Okay, we're going to the Super Bowl, and they don't make it. What happens? Rats, there goes another year down the drain. My hope is set. And I have to learn, just like we all have to learn, take my heart and my body if you want to, but my hope is still in God. Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 10. Here's some of the promises. This is what we need to be focused on. We need to rejoice in today. Smile. This isn't a funeral. This is a time of rejoicing. "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose." Can you see that? That's like in Texas, we need a little of that. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. I want to see His glory. I'm looking forward to that. If I lose the greatest and dearest things of my life, I'm still looking for Him. You can't take that hope away from me. Strengthen you the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. That's what I'm saying today. We need to be excited again. He's coming sooner than when I was born. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, He will come and save you. And look what, here, this is beautiful language to me. All the people, you know, all the people who are physically challenged, mentally challenged, they have the most to get from this. People who never walked a day in their life, they're going to be able, when Jesus comes back, run like a hart, jump like a hart. So there are things for us to be saying, praise God. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man, what is that? What was I saying? Leap as a harp, and it doesn't say, and the hunter shall find him, huh? And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. You know, there's one thing I wish I had is a better singing voice. I don't think I have a sandpaper voice, but we're going to be singing songs of joy that are going to be so amazing. And we heard some great singing, but you know what? That's nothing compared to when Jesus comes back. And yeah, Lori Nienheis, you too. You've got a great singing voice too there. And yet we're all going to be able to sing great. For out of the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. We don't have that now, but it's coming. The unclean shall pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And where does that song go? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And what does it say? Everlasting joy. Can you take that? We kind of don't like people that are happy all the time, do we? Why are you so happy for today? And this is a new body. You're never going to wake up. Well, you won't wake up. You're going to be up all the time. You're never going to be in a bad mood. Right? We can't handle that idea. How does it like to be happy all the time? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We're never going to be sick. Am I right? We won't be sick of seeing each other either. We're going to be happy. Tears of joy to see people we haven't seen in a long time. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm looking forward to see my grandpa one day. I'm looking forward to see the men of old from the Bible. Talk to them. You know what? I'm not going to have to bow or feel lower than them. We're all going to be a happy family. Brothers and sisters in God. Does that keep you going when everything is going down? Oh, church was so boring today, and I fell asleep during the pastor's sermon. Listen, when we've got that great expectation of God's grace coming to us, let's come to church refreshed, excited, exuberant, even standing up and praising God. I want that. God is looking for us to be in that winning attitude. Now we're going to talk about sports for a while, huh? We have that winning attitude. I've won because Jesus died on the cross and set me free. I won. Through His grace, do we act like it? When I come and I want to praise God, well, I don't feel like it. Do you think there are angels up in God's throne room that are saying, I don't feel like praising God today? And we have a greater joy because we have a song of deliverance that they can't even sing. I'm looking forward to a great supper. Now, I'm looking forward to lunch. But I'm looking forward to something called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I keep joking with myself and I keep thinking, you know what? I may be too busy wanting to talk to everybody that I'm going to see. I may not even eat the dinner. I want that. Every newborn believer is given and instilled in his heart the need and the desire to come home. Doesn't it say in Scripture we're all pilgrims in a strange place? I don't want what this world has to offer me. You give me $1 billion, take it, because I want Jesus Christ. You can offer me everything that a heart could want, but I want Him first. That's what we're here for. We're here to revive one another. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to restore that great joy, brethren, that we need to have. Isn't that nice that you can wake up in the morning and not have to feel your bones creak like an old chair? I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to pain being gone. Revelation 21. I'm just about done. Look at these promises, brethren. We've got not only to claim them, we've got to believe them, and not only believe them, brethren, we've got to live them. Because if people see Christians who don't look any different from the world, who look just as sour as the pickles, what do you have to offer me? Revelation 21. I'm going to wake people up, right, again with the wrong scripture. Look what it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. You know, I am glad he's doing that, because I don't want to see what this world looked like. I want to see this new Eden kind of a complex that God is building for us. I want to be a part of that. A new heaven, a new earth, and there was no more sea. So if you're a good fisherman, I don't know, you have to talk to God about that. And I, John, saw the holy city. Are you looking forward to that? Are you looking forward to your place in this new city? I am. I'm not saying I want an old woodshed out somewhere. I want what God wants for me to have. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned. Can you imagine how beautiful this thing must look? And even Paul says, I can't even see all this. I can't even understand all of this. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. Aren't you looking forward to seeing God Almighty one day? And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I want that life. I don't want this life anymore. I remember Grandpa saying one time when he was preaching, I'm ready to go, and I thought, I don't want you to go yet. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Are you thirsty for that new kingdom? I don't want what the world wants me to drink. Sorrow, death, destruction, pain. That's all it offers. We've had enough garbage in this life. And it is garbage. Is there anything holding you back? Is there something in your life that is keeping you from fully grasping this, holding on to it, living it, allowing it to change and transform you? Because, brethren, the best days are yet to come. You could have a church of 5,000 people and doing all these things, God, that still is not going to compare to what is coming. I'm looking for that day. What do you think? Do we serve a good Savior? Amen. Has He got promises for us? I am. I've been thinking about that. When He comes, I thought I'll be just thankful enough just to bow at His feet and say, thank You for what You did for me. I want that more than anything else in this world. And I'm looking for that day. Father in heaven, sometimes as Your children, we get distracted. We kind of fall out of the way. We forget about the joy of all the promises You have given to us from the Old and the New Testament. Sometimes we forget because of the hardness of the road and the pain that we've had to bear. But help us always to remember it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. We will be so excited. It'll be a day that this world has never known. And Lord, help us to be revived, to be excited, to want to share that excitement with those who do not have Jesus, so that we can bring others to you. Father, help us. We cannot get there except you guide and protect and carry us at times. Help us, Lord, to know of your love and your forgiveness and your mercy and the promises. Lord, I'm looking for the day, Heavenly Father, when you will allow me to see you. What a great, glorious day that will be too as well. Help us, Lord. Help us to get there. I ask in Jesus' name, Amen.